evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned into Radiance by Design. Boy, things are exciting out there on the planet, are they not? How calm are you? You're feeling really good and calm. We're going to talk tonight about finding your center in the middle of the whirlwinds of time here. It's sort of interesting that there's a lot of systems breaking down, and what is it? We want that. This is the time of the shift. Seth just told me that they had tornadoes right there in Paradise. Even Paradise has got some direction to go to Oz, and that's what's happening. So anyway, I'd like to talk about a number of things. One is kind of the shift and the changes that we're going through and how the economic system, as we know, that French guy got caught doing some raping and pillaging, right, in a system that used to be closed. It used to be protected system, and now it's world-renowned that he gets to do some raping. And so I imagine his career as that is stopped. But I thought it was very interesting because the global economic situation has kind of had a dominant pressure on everybody's lives for a long time. So that sounds a bit like raping, too. Not that I want to kind of slam anybody. We'll send him light and hope that he evolves. And so do other big beings who are there and having a lot to do with the monetary system in the world. And there's apparently a lot of, now if I can get this right, because I'm not a big news person, but I pick Bob's brain. Bob is my wonderful partner and my techie wizard who always sits here with me. And he loves to listen to the news, which I don't. But anyway, he was saying how exciting it was, because we all know about Bin Laden and how he was caught. And of course, we have some interesting mixed feelings about the combination of forces involved. At least that's what my thing is, combination of forces involved in that. What did he really mean to us anyway, and will we ever know? A. B, there are other people. One is the Serbian leader Serbian general who's been on the run for 15 years, 12 years or something, who's done a lot of murdering of people himself because he was doing a genetic cleansing, good old Hitlerian kind of thing, and he was nabbed by his own people, which is better than just having America do these things, right? And so he's slowed down in his tracks, and they are pleased about that over there. And there's so much about Gaddafi and his son-in-law and the Syrian leader and stopping. We need to do a lot of light work and a lot of praying for the heart rising in these leaders that have been dictatorial and have really created a lot of deaths in their own in order to quell any of the demands of their people to be independent. And then in Egypt, the Egyptians themselves are trying Mubarak, I had the name wrong, are trying Mubarak for all of his crimes against humanity. Then there's a new Ugandan guy who's been on the lam for 17 years, and he's been a mass murderer as well. And he's been picked off. So it's like, I don't believe in hunting down the fugitives, you know, even though it was a good television show some years ago. I don't believe in that in my heart. I believe we need to do heart-lifting win-win evolution within each being. But in any case, this is stopping a certain kind of, or slowing down a certain kind of resistance that's been going on out there. And it's just exciting in the sense that we have these systems going on all over the world. And they're sort of rife with human greed and dominance and bitterness and all of that stuff. But it seems like they're shuddering to an end all over the place. And some of it's really awful. You know, when we think about, I guess one of the ones I heard about was General Electric having somebody in a high position knowing that the nuclear power plants were not okay, and fighting with the General Electric, and then he finally left the company because they wouldn't listen to him. But he said what was wrong with them, and some years later, he was right. So there's a lot of inner conflict about that. And it sort of reminds me of Enron and that incredible poisonous big company fall and all of these. So these systems are hitting the limelight. They're coming up in the global media. And people are watching as the revelations, and I keep falling back into that word because it's biblical, right? The revelations of corruption are just radiating around the world. talking to somebody today about how media itself, and this is obvious, you probably know this and I know this, but I've been doing a television show, so I'm wanting to market it and all of that. And as we all know, Oprah stepping down after 25 years of her sovereignty there and so on. So I was talking to somebody who's been very involved in the media, and he was saying, oh, it's really sad because all of the systems are absolutely coming apart at the seams. And, you know, the big, big movie makers aren't doing big, big movies anymore unless they're a shoo-in in the marketplace where, you know, it's kind of gratuitous violence and lots of slap and dash. But there's not very many movies coming out these days that are really rich and deep. And he says it's because the finances aren't there anymore for it. And a lot of people who are really big in the movie industry are not penniless, but are selling houses and getting out of their higher echelon existence because the whole film industry is breaking down. And on the other hand, like you and I know, there's a lot more to be saying about breaking down systems, but I thought it was an interesting concept because you and I know that all over this world, as things are breaking down, there are new things growing up. There are new systems, whether it's green power, solar power, and all kinds of alternative power things rising all over the world in little snippets and so on. I won't even get into talking about oil because it boggles my mind a lot of the time. But there's all kinds of alternative power solutions rising all over the world, sometimes in little teeny places and sometimes in a bigger place. We go back into television and media. A lot of things are now in the hands of people instead of in the hands of a few very, very wealthy people or some strongholds of the wealth in that system. And who knows where it's going? Maybe you don't. Maybe you know. Maybe I know, but I don't really know yet. And we're going to find ways of bringing forward radio, television. Well, we're doing this on BBS, radio, television, and stuff. On our cell phones, there's all kinds of talk about the kinds of little shows that are being done for kids that are being shown to keep the kids happy, shows and games on cell phones and things. So there's a real change, a breakdown of that old movie system, if you will, and television system and media dominance. And to a degree, it's coming into the hands of people. We don't know where that's going to go, do we? Thanks to the internet, which has also destroyed the music industry in a way, but I believe that there's a whole other level of the music industry which will come up and find its way out too. We just don't know what that is. So that's not really what I wanted to talk about tonight. I wanted to talk about forgiveness. I wanted to talk about forgiveness and finding divinity in everything. And I wanted us to note that in the turmoil, as systems break down or as weather gets crazy and so on, and families are under stress or breaking down or getting together or whatever it is, you know, we have to have some centering techniques, don't we? We have to find ways of using forgiveness and love or forgiveness and divinity for finding, what is it? Okay, so I did an interview, I'll go back a bit. I did an interview with Hazel Courtney this last week. And before that, I had been reading Autobiography of a Yogi, and I'd read the Bhagavad Gita, A Walkthrough for Westerners by Jack Hawley. And all the way through, they're all about finding the divinity in everything. And that's not news to me, and it's not news to you, but it's news to me in that I hadn't been practicing it for a while. And also that forgiveness is rudimentary, is one of the greatest tools for your, even for manifestation. Even if you want to manifest something wonderful and you're really slow about it for whatever reason, forgiveness is one of the greatest tools you can use. Because it's like a plug in if we're talking about manifestation and we're talking about ourselves being vibrational vehicles of light, when we want to manifest, what holds back our manifestation is oftentimes deep beliefs of not having or of low self-esteem or of anger or bitterness or anything, very often recorded in, mostly in the belly area and, of course, throughout the body. And sometimes when you're doing forgiveness exercises, it's really amazing how the belly begins to unhook all kinds of beliefs. So we're going to talk about that a little more a little later tonight, and also about finding the divinity in everything. Doing that, and sometimes I'm busy and I forget. But when I do it, it's the most interesting thing. Say I'm kind of piqued with someone and I'm annoyed, and I do a little forgiveness, and then I see and feel the divinity in everything. It's like my body shifts how it holds its weight, which is evidential, isn't it? That's actually proof of the work we see and say, which is we have these programs deep within, and if you can find a way to remove the program, then you remove what limits your manifestation or limits your happiness or limits your health or whatever, right? So I'm finding that it's really fun to play with those two things. And Hazel Courtney, as she was talking about Countdown to Coherence. Coherence is a wonderful, wonderful book where she interviews all kinds of healers from all over the world on how they've approached the evolution of the species. And basically, over and over again, it gets to forgiveness and love, or forgiveness and divinity. And she just really had me amping up on that. It's wonderful. And the word coherence is worth throwing into our vocabulary on a daily basis. I was just fusing my two words there. And coherence is when you, deep within, the essence of your being is in harmony with the moment. You're right in the now. And I kind of find it as being, she said, the studies have shown, scientific studies have shown that beings who meditate, I think she said like 12 years or something, and sometimes it's many lifetimes, can be tested to be shown that energetically they're very balanced and they're very coherent. And in that very coherent energy force or vibration, they can walk into a room. And that coherence radiates. Of course, we're talking about radiance by design. So the designed radiance they've got is they send the radiance out just as you and I do, but we can hitch a ride on theirs, and we literally go through transformation and we go through healing. So they can set the vibrational tone in the room or anywhere you are. It's like setting a sacred space, leaving the room, walking in, and really feel the higher frequencies in there. So becoming coherent is actually becoming in truth with self without having a ton of reactions that you're radiating out or holding patterns or resistances or whatever. It's a wonderful book, Countdown to Coherence. And Hazel Courtney is the author, and you can check out a couple of her YouTubes if you want to find out, if you want to read her book. Or you can listen to the archives from last Tuesday night. I think you'll find it a very pithy and information-packed interview. I loved doing it. So that was a long and very, that was also an information-packed monologue, wasn't it, to start us off. And I would like us to work toward our own coherence, work toward our own forgiveness and love, even though we're glad that some of those that are doing mass murder are being short-sheeted at this point. We want to send them forgiveness and love, too, because as a species, we're in a time of shift, and we really want to send out our own emanations of love, forgiveness, transformation, and help the whole species move through. What a healing art that is, isn't it? And then I want you to call in. I love it when you call in. And Deb O'Connor, who forgot us last week because she was off in, I think, Point Reyes or somewhere in California, basking in nature, which is a great way also to get coherent. She apologized profusely, but I didn't give her too much flack, but she's definitely going to be on tonight, and I'm very delighted she is at 7:30. So join me. Let's join each other and raise our fields and frequency, learn to separate ourselves from the madding crowds, and then send into the crowds wonderful thoughts and feelings and uplifting messages so we can all enter the shift consciously and stay centered in the middle of all the things that are happening. All right. Above your head, a golden ball, maybe about 2 miles above your head, and below your spine, a golden ball, maybe about 40 feet. From above your head, run a filament of gold light right down through your spine and into the lower golden ball. And drop a four-sided pyramid pointing into the upper golden ball, down to about waist height. Maybe it's 60 feet out, I don't know. And then upside down, meeting it point to point, another golden pyramid. And its down pointing point goes into the lower golden ball. And now inside of the pyramid, there's a crystal ball. That feels really soft to me. It always feels soft and very kind of, radiant, spectral radiance. Now, inside of that crystal ball, there you are in a star tetrahedron, a three-dimensional star of David. I'm going to have you spin and spin and spin in that star of David. Spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. And whilst you're spinning, look in front of you. We have our magic screen. And the first movie on the screen is you with yourself. What do you want to become? I always want to move dimensions through dimensions, and I would like to come from the heart. Now I'll say I'd like to be coherent as I move through dimensions. Okay, and then whatever you want to be, when you get the sense of it, give it a big smile, and now we'll move to the next screen. And on that screen, you're creating something from your heart, whether it's a relationship, home and family, a book, a movie, whatever. Yes, and see it creating a job, project. See all the resources coming. Good. And then see it going on step by step. It's being created and it's working. People are happy with it. You sit there and you're very pleased. That's it. And now see the resources coming. You see that it's complete and it's so wonderful. And now see all the resources coming to sustain your project. People, places, things, moolah if you need money. Whatever it is you need is just pouring to you and coming at the right rate. And now wrap that in light. And let's get into the Galactic Healing Center. And our first healing table, we have our healing team. We've all got our own magical, unseen team. And they're standing around the healing table. And I always bring in the realms and realms of different dimensions that go with our healing team for the great political situations. But let's do it all the way for ourselves as well and for the people that we bring in. So you're the first one to lie on the table. So you lie down and ask your beautiful healing team, they are, to do for you what it is you need. That's it. What can you feel? You can also ask them for something specific or ask them what you need. You make me feel so happy. And now wrap that in light, push it to the side. The team replicates themselves, even though we now have a bazillion of them, and wrap them around a new table. And on that table, we put someone. Yes, I'm going to put somebody who's without a job, who's frustrated, and is losing his ability to even look right now. Who are you putting on the table? You can tell me when you call in. It's funny, the team are pulling things out of his head, his brain, changing some of the patterns in the brain. And giving him love and courage and smoothing patterns out of his heart, his chest area. Remember, the chest encodes karmic grief and so on. He's just pulling streams of it out of his body. Pulling it out of his legs and his head. And now they're infusing his body. Watch that green chakra perk. Good work. They've got all his chakras just radiantly bright. Give him love. Now let's bring in, move it to the side, bring in another one. Excellent. I'm seeing two people here, so we'll have two tables, okay? One is a young woman who is partnered with the young person who's having trouble getting work, and she's overworked and has all kinds of body pain. So they're working with her, and I'll get back to her in a minute. And here's an older woman who's very frightened. She's hurt herself, and she's not walking that well, and they're threatening her job, and she's very frightened. So we've got these two women on either end of the work spectrum. And again, they're brightening up their chakras, but they're also, in both cases, they're pulling, again, information out of the head that comes from, out of the brain, that comes from past experiences. And the stomach, issues of power. Yeah. And in both cases, you know what's interesting is the bones hold so much information about what's gone on before, about dangers to the structure. And some of these that are recorded are past lives. So for both of them, it's as if they're sending a really strong light through all their bones in order to give them a fresh start. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And the older lady seems to be moving and getting more comfortable. Her legs are less bent. And there's some beings in the team that just want to infuse love into these beings and to brighten the chakras, brighten the red. They're putting a lot of geometrics in their bodies right now. Especially in the throat, the belly, solar plexus in the heart. All right. It's interesting because these women don't know each other and they sure don't look the same, but boy, oh boy, a lot of the same body messages. So let's wrap them both in light, fill them with love, bless those wonderful colors. Let's take a little time to do some political action. We again have the team in here. We bring in the table. And on that table, let's put the whole Middle East right now. There is such, it's as if the ferment of evolution is moving through all of the Middle East. It's incredible. It's making my stomach gurgle and my heart rip. And we're going to, as if that it's little, because this is our magic sacred structure, so we can have any size we want. So we're just bringing in the Middle East and laying it on the table. It's the cradle of civilization, isn't it? That's right. And we're going to rock that cradle and send light to the leaders that they can open their hearts and forgive themselves and all of life. Because every one of them, what the guides are showing here is that every one of them is here to make this transformation as well. They are a part of it. So let's just send some wonderful light to that and then watch the people rise into their own courage and adapt themselves to their own ability to find the divinity within themselves and to take a stand for all of humanity. Well, they'll start with themselves and their families, won't they? There's been a lot of blood spilt, especially in, I think, Libya and Syria, Palestine, Israel. Okay, and let's just have all of these beings of light, these wonderful team beings, and all those resonating layers and layers and layers of beings and consciousness infuse these light and ability to evolve, be part of the shift, and wrap them in light and move that scenario to the side. And again, the team replicates themselves. And this time I want you to put on that table any of the parts of the world that you're really, really concentrating on now. If I try to pick this one, that one, I always leave some up. So you pick. Okay, you name them. And I will inside. Humanity has the opportunity to grow, don't we? Yeah. And just see all these beings being infused with light and support, being capable of forgiveness, and knowing they're each flex of divinity expressing. Doesn't matter which color, which religion, which belongingness. And let's wrap that in light. Now let's bring the pink light in through the top of our heads, down through our hearts, and send it all over the world, giving a special patting attention to the parts of the world that you know are suffering with illness, poverty, limitation of any kind, financial despair, the animals, you know, hit all these different places with big blobs of pink light to bring harmony and possibility. Remember, we have this amazing resonant team group. Have them surround the world and then bring it back into your hands, your arms, your heart. Take one more minute and just swaddle Obama in bright pink light. Can we do that for a minute? He needs that. Just fill him with pink light and surround him in pink light and wrap him in forgiveness and divinity, that he finds the strength, the courage to be in the truth of life at this point. And we won't unwrap him tonight. To close off your galactic healing center. That's it. And jump into your star tetrahedron, your Merkaba, because we're changing dimensions again. Spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. And here you are on the planet here with me, Veronica Entwistle. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design here on wonderful BBS Radio. And we're talking about the shift in a way. We're talking about all kinds of things, including who you are and what you're doing. And before we get very far with calls and so on, we're going to be talking to Deb O'Connor, I hope, if she didn't forget us. Otherwise, we're going to be talking to you about what you're going through on the planet at this time and how to stay stable and how to stay healing, self-healing, when things are pretty turbulent, aren't they? So here's the number, 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. Let's see. How many of you saw the movie I Am? It's a pretty good movie. I think that it's something, I talked earlier about how one of the systems breaking down is the television and media system. But one of the really neat things about that is there are people who have a shift in consciousness that are making movies about it, and I Am is about that. Horse Boy was another one. Who have you seen lately, and what have you seen? So, Seth, are you going to call Deb? Deb, are you going to be on the air with me tonight? Hello? All right, so I'm just going to look around and see how we all did with that that meditation. I'm just taking a look at some people. Mhm. You know what's interesting is I'm looking at. Hi, you there?
Hi, it's Deb.
Hi. Welcome to the show, Deb O'Connor.
Thank you. I'm so sorry I missed everything last week. I apologize.
It was the best show in the world. It was the best show in the world.
They're all the best show in the world. You know, You were talking the week before, or maybe you were talking with Jackie, I can't remember which, but about how many people are finding themselves kind of lost in time. It's not really lost, but just kind of not sure where we are in time. And that really is my excuse for last Thursday night. But anyway, who cares about that? You know what I was thinking would be fun to share tonight is that the moon in the sky tonight is just at the very tail end of the sign of Pisces. So that means it's been in Pisces for the last couple days, couple nights. And this will be the last night, all night. It's an incredibly good time for us to be aware of what we're dreaming, because dreams are, more than with any other sign, when the moon's in Pisces, dreams are phenomenal. We're just so clear that we're in spaciousness and that we're communicating.
And will they come? Will they come true?
Will who come?
Will the dreams come true? We have a caller. Do you want to take a caller, Deb?
Sure. Although the caller might be for you, but whatever. Yes, whichever way it works.
Okay. Caller, do you want to wait for the astrological report?
Sure, I can do that.
Okay, hang on then. Okay, Deb, you're on.
Well, no, it's just very simple. It's that, you know, the thing with dreams is that if we ask before we close our eyes to remember at least some part of the dream, we will. And everyone who works with dreams knows it's a great idea to have a pencil, piece of paper and a little pencil somewhere near the bed, so that if you wake up and you're dreaming, you can scribble anything down. You don't have to even turn a light on, just scribble down something so that you have some fragment to hang on to in the morning. But really, with the moon in Pisces, the last couple nights have been just rich with dreams. And the thing about tonight that's even more extraordinary is that as it leaves Pisces, early tomorrow morning, the moon's going to couple up with Uranus, which we talk about all the time. Uranus, which is very much cosmic minded and brings into our consciousness, cosmic consciousness. So it's like the top of our head is wide open with Uranus, just sort of like, you know, beaming down awareness that isn't human. It's not coming from the human level. So with a Pisces moon moving toward this Uranus energy, the possibility for unexpected and extraordinary awareness through the dream state is really high tonight.
I want that.
I know. And then the sun's in Gemini now. There's going to be a Gemini new moon on Wednesday night, which we can talk about next week if you want to. But the thing to remember about Gemini as we go through this month of Gemini days is that Gemini is so fascinated with information, and there's such a beautiful curiosity and sense of wonder inherent in Gemini. So, and one of my favorite things about this sign is how open-minded it is. So this is a great time to have conversations with anybody about anything in a way where there's just not any judgment attached, where we're just literally sharing and receiving information and in a way that creates a sort of a sense of delight. And Gemini is infinite in its sense of possibilities. That's another beautiful thing about it. So, and by the way, happy birthday to you, whose birthday was on Monday. Miss Gemini.
Thank you so much. You sent me a beautiful solar report. What is it?
Solar return.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was wonderful. Yeah. But I want to say, well, if Pisces and Gemini and all that are so wonderfully curious and so on, it's a great time to be on the radio together.
It is a great time. Right. I'm Pisces or Gemini. That's right.
Right. So we've got to invoke some curiosity.
and take it into the sort of the mystical, you know, just curious about everything, not just what we think is tangible in this three-dimensional world. Pisces is, with Gemini, is taking us way out of this realm while we can stay in this realm. It's wonderful. I'm going to get off the phone because you have a caller, and I imagine she would like to talk to you.
Well, you can hang in for a while if you like, and I just wanted to say that so much, there's so many systems dissembling, but there's so much interesting action growing up in new systems, so that's a perfect alignment with this kind of sky, isn't it?
It is, and the thing that I love about this kind of sky is that really, with Gemini, you're in the human world of communication, and with Pisces, you're in the ethereal, metaphysical world of communicating beyond words. So even though these two signs square each other, and old-timey astrologers will, you know, stomp their feet and jump up and down and say how awful that is, I think it's just really a beautiful challenge to us to, like, you know, we always talk about this, align these two parts of ourselves, the human communicator and that, you know, that part of us that's other, that is in that spaciousness that has no verbal language, no way to express. So, yeah.
Does Uranus amp that up, Deb?
Mm-hmm. Uranus always brings us unexpected awareness hits. That's one of the things I love about it so much. And, you know, a lot of people don't like that about Uranus. You kind of never know what's going to happen next. But at the same time, well, while you're working with this caller, I'll find this wonderful Rilke poem I found today about how change is always unsettling and how could we change? I mean, there's no other way to change. Really.
Well, that's wonderful. Find the poem, because we don't want you to hang up. So I'd love to talk with the caller. Yes. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes.
Hi there.
Hi. Thanks for being patient, or were you?
I am. I'm walking home, and I was just dancing around the tree while you're talking anyway. So, you know. You know, it's really, thank you for actually asking if I wanted to wait, because I'm actually listening on my phone, and I haven't been able to listen for a while because I'm outside walking. So it was really great you said that, because I've had the interesting dreams, you know. I've been getting different types of dreams.
Oh, great.
And a lot of times, sometimes I haven't had the worry dreams, and it's getting to the point where I can tell the difference between my worry dreams and I need to pay attention to this dream, because it's a guidance dream. And the most interesting experience occurred on Monday night. And I will tell you that a tragedy occurred in my life recently that I've already had two deaths in the family. An old teacher that I actually never met in person, but I was a student of his student, died. I just found out. But the biggest tragedy is my friend's sister committed suicide.
Oh, my.
And it's been... And, you know, I've had to deal with my guilt of things I could have done I didn't. And it really changed my perspective on my relationship with my friend, because miracles started happening. And we've got Unity Church praying for us and the family. And I felt like she's been contacting me, you know, while she was in a coma. And now, of course, she's gone and passed over. But the thing is, I have not enjoyed seeing my friend's sorrow, but I have seen miracles in myself and him and our relationship, and the things that prompted me to do that I was not doing, that I kept putting off and didn't want to do, and so those things are happening. But the strangest thing that happened Monday night was I'd fallen asleep. He's moving his stuff to my apartment so he can go back to his home country, take his sister's, you know, body home, and making arrangements. And he said, what happened was he told me, go take a nap, and I refused. And finally, I just couldn't take it anymore. I just fell asleep on the couch, woke up as he was walking into the living room, and I looked at him, and I said, I just woke up and had the weirdest dream, but I don't remember it. And he goes, well, sometimes it's forgetting his best. He said, yeah, you're probably right, and then fell right back to sleep. And then woke up when he was leaving and was in shock. It's like, bam, like something opened me up really big, like, he's leaving, and I just knew I have to go with him to the airport. He cannot go with my other friend by himself. I have to go. And I just went. It's like I hadn't had that clarity. And it's been difficult because I've gone back and forth because I've had the grief. And, he and I are really well connected. You know, it's starting to be a healthier connection. But, and this morning I had a dream. It was like this person that was a teacher, he just looked at me, we're having a flute lesson, he looked at me and goes, you know, you can apply what you learn with one teacher with another teacher. And I went, okay, and then woke up and I went, what does that mean? And then had a chance to apply it later in the day.
Oh, good.
You know, it's like,
so you get, is that what you usually get, Deb, that you get instruction in your dream?
I think you get the instruction, it's not usually literal, but it's that kind of beautiful metaphorical thing that everybody's dream language is different, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of those people, like each one of those who are in the dream are represent some, they're an archetype for a different part of our psyche. So that's basically like her teacher talking to her ego through, you know, through the persona of some other teacher, but it's really a teacher within the caller. Beautiful.
Excellent. So that, thank you for that. That's a good bit of information.
Hello?
Going with the astrology.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hello. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call. Stephanie, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Stephanie. Keep us posted. Take care.
I will. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Goodbye. Thanks for that, Deb. You know what I dreamed today?
What did you dream?
I dreamed that I had 5 experiences of being on one of Oprah's new shows.
That's going to happen.
I believe it will. It was just before I woke up this morning. You know how that time is really precious. And I thought, my dreams are really amazing right now. And I thought I would accept that as being gospel.
I think it is. I mean, if you think about what you know, what you teach, which is that anything's possible. I mean, it's such a cliche, but it's true. Anything's, if you, and so if this is where your focus and your attention are, where your attention's focused, then there you are, there you go, just into that.
I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, I think, I was working with a wonderful, wonderful woman who is a client of yours and mine, who has been having rattlesnake dreams like crazy lately, very unsettling ones. And then she walked out to her barn, and there was a snake, a real snake. Like, it wasn't part of the dream. She'd just been dreaming these dreams the last couple of nights, and then walked out to the barn, and there was a rattlesnake in the barn near her horses, which she had to kill. Bless, you know. And then when I was talking to her on the phone 2 days later about these dreams, a young rattlesnake bit her dog in the nose.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, and so in terms of manifesting, I think what we're dreaming about is very real, and yet we're also getting symbolic hits around it. I've been dreaming lately about 2 of the 3 men that have been really primary in my life over the last 60 years, and processing them, letting it go, you know, but in a very real way, not in any one of those crazy dreams where you're not sure which planet you're on.
So sometimes that it helps you to complete. It helps to complete with relationship, doesn't it?
It does, and with dreams like the one that you're having, I think it helps you to basically just point yourself, direct yourself.
Yeah, I just smiled and really felt important. I wanted to ask you one more thing. You wrote. We had a very short email discussion about how you feel the planets in your cells?
Oh, well, when I work with clients and I begin a reading, I always want to explain just quickly, if I can, why this language, which is just looks like a map of symbols on a piece of paper, why it's so resonant with us, our energy. Is that a caller?
Caller, can you just wait one moment? I'd love to talk to you. Can you hold on a moment?
Yes, I can.
Thank you.
Okay. So the thing about the planetary setup is that the planets in space are like a mega version of the planets in our body, which we call cells. And if you move to the, you know, down from cells, you go to molecules, and down from cells, down into atoms. And each one of those is a system, a universe within itself. So I was just talking, you and I were just talking about how extraordinary I think it is that the energy that's shared, whether it's by atoms in the body or planets out of our sphere, which seems so far away, it's all shared energy. So there are always these bodies, these physical bodies relating to each other energetically. And so when we're born, we're basically taking a picture of the sky to see exactly what kind of energy relationships those large energy bodies are carrying on with each other, and then we carry that energy for the rest of our lives.
I love
that.
Does that
make sense?
That's wonderful. Oh, it makes a terrific sense. So I think I'll take the caller, but I love that, Deb. I couldn't let you go without having that.
Thank you, Veronica. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you so much. Oh, for everyone. Deb is Deb at Love Dog Design. You want to check her new website, lovedogdesign.com. Thank you. So you're on the air. Good evening.
Hey, Veronica. It's Aaliyah.
Hi, Aaliyah. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. I'm having a good time.
Yeah? Yeah, cool. Yeah, dreams are really interesting. I don't know. I've been dreaming a lot about my mother lately.
Is she on the other side?
Not great dreams. Not fun. But I think in general, my dreams are a lot about teaching or being taught. I was wondering if anyone else has these feelings these days about, like, your body hurting, like just being crammed with information or something, and your whole body just aches.
I do. Not all the time. It seems to hit me when all of a sudden I'm aching, but it moves through like it's having. Of course, I'm such a lot of Gemini, you know. But it moves through, and I'm thinking that it's the turbulence on the earth right now. That's what I think. And sometimes it's really painful, and then I'm fine.
Yeah, Lauren Gorgo, who writes Conscious Co-Creation blog, is talking about how they're kind of filling ourselves, or the in-between part of ourselves, with energy. And then that gets up to a certain level, and then the cells around it start to resonate at that same level. Find that interesting.
So we're kind of getting injections of higher frequency energy?
Yeah, and then that makes it, you know, the law of resonance when, you know, like tuning fork type of thing. That energy vibrates at a certain level, causes the cells around it to vibrate, and then they take away that that energy that was around the cell. So
that's why the pain is the contrast?
Yeah, I think it's the aching. It's just, you know, that much stuff in your cells or around your cells would cause like a swelling almost, you know, how swelling to ache, you know.
Well, I feel like very often in my transformative...
Yeah, I'd love to have you read on what's going on. It's pretty intense. Well,
in my transformative history, I've had a lot of body pain, but mine moves very fast, so I will be seemingly in agony, and then, boop, it's gone. You know? And I always see it as a spiraling, a speed-up of spiraling energies moving through the body. And I really feel that the shift, what we're calling the shift, is just that, is these new energies coming in, and we're trying to incorporate them or absorb them, aren't we? I don't know what Lauren Gorgo says.
I get that feel a lot, yeah.
But I think what helps, I'm glad you brought it up, because to me, and I tell this to other people, what helps is to look at it, to be with it, and to help it move through, like you might dance or sing or breathe or run or walk or envision colors or do your chakras or whatever, but just to help it move through, sit in the bath. What do you do?
I focus on a meditation I call the zero-point meditation.
Mm-hmm.
It came to me one day when I was, as a healing technique, which I've used to heal myself and other people, but it's focusing on a symbol of it's the original sun symbol. The astrologers will recognize this as the symbol for the sun. And it's a circle with a dot in the center.
Hmm.
And, you know, it's a white circle with a black dot in the center of it. And that is a symbol also for theta. I was told, you know, when I was receiving this information that it's the reset point for anything that you want, whether it's your thoughts or, you know, the idea of your history, you know, carrying around your history with you. You know, it's a way to dump your history and be able to start back at the beginning.
Mm.
So it's a great little meditation when you don't know what else to do. And it's also actually a healing technique as well. So you can put zero point as a, you know, hold your hand above the part that, you know, is injured. With your thoughts, put that symbol and the phrase zero point into the injury, and it heals.
And do you find that with the aches and pains that you've had, it works?
I haven't been doing it with the aches and pains. I just try to focus on, yeah, it would work if I were to do it, but I'm more for the sort of the frustration or circling thoughts that I get. Because I'm ready for things to be happening in a positive direction, and I get very frustrated.
I bet you do. Well, you know what's interesting is as you say the zero-point healing, I'm going, you know, we started having this conversation tonight about the shift and the turbulence and the tornadoes. There's all this stuff going on and the collapsing of this and the collapsing of that and the inability of people to hold jobs or create their jobs. Yeah, it seems like we're in between things. And having
yes,
those
very
techniques
much.
And having those techniques to move aches and pains through, which to me come from that juggling of new energies with the old, is one way of mm-hmm. putting exactly the same thing. And what you just taught right now is also a great way of helping people find center for themselves when things are just a little bit too hard. I also believe that forgiveness and love work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The zero point is also the Fool in the Tarot. And if you look, the Fool has no value. And you know, it's called a zero, which is a placeholder. It's actually a very magical number when you think about it, because it's not a number.
He steps out into space.
And it's the reset. You know, the Fool is the divine innocent. He's mm-hmm. the one, he's the holy Fool. He's the one who has no notion of anything evil or wrong or that anything bad can happen to him. He's stepping out confidently and joyously into space while he's looking at the sun. And so the sun, okay, there's zero point again. But the zero point, if you think about it, the zero represents the feminine or the ultimate possibility, the ultimate realm of possibility, the implicit possibility that is not yet born. And the point represents the inception, the very beginning of the universe. At the Big Bang, there was zero point first.
Mm.
And that's the beginning of everything. So you can put yourself back at the beginning with
wow.
your thoughts.
And then I want to finish our conversation by saying, yeah, it makes anything possible, doesn't it? It makes everything possible.
Yeah, when you can go back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And then there's that infinite expansion. Well, thank you, Aaliyah. I hope all's well in your world, and I'm glad to talk to you.
I know. Well, I rushed back to be able to get onto your phone call because I love hearing from you, like your voice.
Thank you so much, and yours too. So many blessings, my friend.
All right, you take care.
You too. So that was an interesting conversation. So we've gotten depth astrological, and we're talking about the shift, and we're taking care of zero point and the beginning, and we're doing forgiveness and love. Is there anything we left out? Finding the divinity in all things. And tonight on Jackie's show, she's going to be talking about I think bringing in other aspects of the soul, which is good. That's back to the coherence thing, isn't it? Bringing in other aspects of your soul consciously. And what Aaliyah was talking about is in the turbulence is finding that place where you can go back into innocence and the beginning. And to me, when we're talking about forgiveness, is we don't drop back into the beginning. We don't, let me see. So many of the teachers are saying these days, including my guides and angels, is you can step out of your karma. You can step out of the subconscious drives that have kind of made us replay a lower quality of human existence in many ways. We can step out of it. We're not only allowed to now, but we've trained ourselves enough so that we can consciously step out of it. And that reminds me of talking about the Fool and the ability to step forward. And then when Deb was talking about how when you're born, the energies of those planets resonate, the stars and planets resonate with our own cellular structure. It's like I'm jumping around because I'm talking to so many different people, but there's a common thread here. When I go back to Hazel Courtney's talking about moving into coherence and using forgiveness and divinity to separate ourselves from all those old drives, those reactive drives, and move into coherence, which is where you're absolutely in alignment with you, your essence, your beingness, divinity, and so on. It requires forgiveness, having unhooked ourselves from those old reactions that have kept us sort of turning around in one spot. Do you follow all that I'm saying? I hope that wasn't enigmatic. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, email me if you have any feedback about this show, recommendations for guests for Paradigm Shifters, which is on next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. I don't know who my shifter is going to be. It might be Peggy Black, who's a wonderful music healer, sound healer, and also has a system on the internet called Morning Messages, but I haven't talked to her in person yet, so if you hear this, don't tell Peggy yet. She hasn't talked to me. And also, if you stay tuned to the top of the hour, there's Jackie Salvitti and ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. We get to hear what the team has to say as well as Jackie, and a lot of us really get excited because their perspective on the craziness of this time is usually very appealing, isn't it? This is Veronica Entwistle saying, when you and I are listening and producing around the same radio show, we're creating, well, we could say it's almost a coherent community. We're moving through connections and community and love. And I say to you, many, many blessings, and thank you so much for tuning into the show. Again, email me if you'd like a session or feedback. Much love. See you at the top of the hour if you can hang in there.